Good morning. I've been sounding like all this week that I was talking in a jug, and my voice was a little bit better this morning until I sung those two songs, and now I'm trying to get back like it was before, but I'll do the best I can. I can't keep from singing when this song's going, but I guess you're the same way. It's good to be here today, and it's good to have you here with us today, and those that are online, we're glad that you're with us. And we're going to be studying something today I think will be interesting to each one of us and helpful to be what God wants us to be. Back some time ago, back in 1981, this was before a lot of you were even born, but I want to share a story with you, and this is the thing that inspired this lesson that we're talking about today. Northern Ireland was dominated in 1981 by anguish over a hunger strike campaign by jailed members of the Irish Republic Army, or the IRA, that lasted for 216 days. And during this time, 10 men starved themselves to death against the background of violence and unusual even for the Northern Ireland standards. And so this was what was going on at this particular time. The hunger strike began on March the 1st as an attempt by the imprisoned IRA members to force the British government to restore their special category status that they had lost some time before. Great Britain had abolished this in 1976. The men of May's prison near Belfast claimed their rights, and these were the rights that they were asking for, to be able to wear their own clothes, I guess instead of prison uniforms, to not have any compulsory prison work to have to do, and have free time for education, to associate freely with other political prisoners, to receive one letter parcel or one visit a week, to have reduced sentences for good behavior, which they had lost some time before through prison protests. Now, during this time in 1981, Sue and I had gone up to Washington, Illinois for a gospel meeting. And we were coming back home from there, and we stopped in Indianapolis, Indiana, and spent the night in Indianapolis. And this was right at the time, about the time that Bobby Sands was one of the famous ones at that particular time, and I'll tell you a little more about him in just a minute. But it was on TV, and showing him on TV and what of the symptoms of his body was taking place as he starved himself to death. And I thought, well, you know, this is a good comparison between spiritual death, too, by starvation. And so that's what we're doing today, is comparing physical death by starvation to spiritual death by starvation. Now, Bobby Sands, a 25-year-old prisoner, was the first hunger striker, and he was elected to the British Commons in an election on April the 9th, but without ever being able to take his seat, Sands died on May the 5th, 1981, after 66 days of fast. He became an IRA hero, and it was said that 50,000 people attended his funeral when his funeral service was. So this was what was happening then, and this was in 1981, and we were coming back from that gospel meeting somewhere in April, along toward the middle to the last of April. So it was just a few days before his death, and so this was all that was on TV at that particular time playing. And so that night in the motel, I noticed the different things that was listed there, and I thought, well, that would make a good lesson. So that's the inspiration for this lesson today. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And so we know then there's more than beans and potatoes and cornbread that sustains man. God said, or Jesus said, that we must live by his word alone, word also, not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, I want us to take the symptoms. I got these listed one by one. The symptoms that was being referred to by Bobby Sands, and he was the one that they were publicizing on TV. And so here was the first thing that they mentioned, was the first symptom of his starvation, was weakness. His body became weak because of a lack of food, and we understand that is the case. We know that to keep our health and strength, we must eat the proper balanced diet. We see pictures of children from other countries, and they may be deformed or or something of that nature because they have not had the right kind of food or the proper food to eat and not enough food maybe to eat. And in school, our children are taught proper health habits and the right kind of foods to eat in order to maintain the healthy physical body. And so we know then that it takes the food, it takes the nourishments there, or the body is not going to operate like it ought to operate. And so this is what we're talking about here. The symptoms, the first one then was weakness. Okay, now let's notice this from a spiritual standpoint, spiritual weakness, and what causes us to be weak spiritually. Well, we said his weakness was because of a lack of food, lack of nourishment to his physical body. We become weak because of a lack of nourishment to the spiritual body, the food that we must have for spiritual in order to stay strong and to be the type of person that we need to be. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, Peter gives us a little hint of this. He says, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby." Now, when a baby is born into the world, it's just as helpless as it can be. It can do nothing on its own. It has to have the help of the parents or someone else to make sure that it has the milk that it needs to where it can grow and finally can take stronger food or the regular food that it needs in order to mature and to become the person that they need to be. Well, the same thing is true with us from a spiritual standpoint. God refers to us when we're baptized into him as babies, and that we need the milk of the word that we may grow thereby. And so we must desire that milk, that word of God, in order to be strong spiritually. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. Paul said, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able." So here were some people at this particular time that had been fed milk before, but the time that they should have been strong enough to take the solid food, he says, they still were not able. They were not growing like they should. They were not receiving this spiritual nourishment in order to grow and become healthy spiritually. And we, you know, it's very important to us that our children, when they're born, that they have the proper nourishment and so forth, that they grow like they should, they mature like they should. If not, then we're awfully alarmed, and we do everything we can to try to correct that where they can grow in the way that they should. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And so we need to study the word of God that we may know how to rightly divide it. We know how to apply it to ourselves. We know how to apply it to those round about us and to the word that God has given unto us. Now let's go back to the Old Testament just a moment for a reference. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, and beginning with verse 6, going down through about verse 9, he says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as signs on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost and of your house and on your gate." So God says that these commandments that he has given unto us, of course he was talking to the children of Israel at this particular time, but it would apply to us too, the commandments that God has given us. He expects us to teach those to our children. Why? So that they can be healthy spiritually. Just like we expect them to be healthy physically, they can also be healthy spiritually. So we need to desire that milk of the word. We need to put the word of God before. You notice what he says here: be diligent to teach your children, and to talk of them when you sit in your house. It's important that we discuss God's word together as a family. When you sit in your house, what do we talk about? Well, we talk about football, we talk about basketball, we talk about hockey, we talk about a lot of different things. And how often does this conversation come up that we're talking about God's word? Well, not as often as it should be, I'm afraid. So he says, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, what's that saying? That God's word ought to be forever on our mind. We're to bind them as signs on our hands, and they're to be as frontlets between our eyes. You should write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gate. So where is the word of God supposed to be? Everywhere. at all times. And we need to be familiar with that and realize that we need to study God's word every day in order to be strong spiritually and not become weak as being starved from the lack of the spiritual food. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "For though by the time you ought to be teachers, you need someone teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." What's happening here? These people are being starved. They're not getting the spiritual food that they need. And at that time that they ought to be teachers, then they have need again that somebody teach them the very first principles of the oracles of God, the things they should have learned a long time ago and gone on beyond that. As a matter of fact, Hebrews 6 and verse 1 tells us that. It says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." And so we're to go on and we're to grow. And this is to apply to us to where we can grow day by day. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, he says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ." What does God expect us to do? He expects us to desire the sincere milk of the word. He expects us to grow up. He expects us to mature. He expects us to become a full age or full grown to where we can do the things that we need to do for him. In 2 Peter chapter 3, and at verse 18, he says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." And so you see there's a lot of passages, and there's several others that I don't have on my list here, that shows that God expects us to mature. He expects us to grow. He expects us to use this food that he has given us, the spiritual food, that we can stay strong and be able to do the things that he expects us to do. Now, the second symptom that they talked about with Bobby Sands was blindness. He became his body became so weak that he got to the point where he could not see. He was blind. Now, again, this was because of a lack of nourishment. His body was not getting the nutrients that it needed, and so his eyesight was lost. Now, what about spiritual blindness? Is it possible for us to be blind spiritually? Well, according to the Bible, it is. And it's because of a lack of the spiritual nourishment that we should have. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, he says, "But even if our gospel be hid or veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this world, a God of this age, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should be the image of God should shine unto them." And so it's possible for us to be blinded by the things or from the things that God has set before us. We know that the devil is there always seeking ways in which he can deter us, and ways that he can turn us away from God, ways that he can pull us toward him instead of God. If he can put some kind of doubt in our minds to cause us to look more to him instead of God, then he'll do it. And so the gospel then is veiled to those whose minds have been blinded by the works of Satan, and he does this very fluently, and he does not get tired. He's there every day. He doesn't quit. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it shows that we're to use that gospel of Christ in the way that will help us to be strong, and we're not to allow Satan to hinder us from doing what God tells us to do. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 11, "But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knoweth not where he goes." And so the ones that walk in darkness, it says, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Darkness is sin. And so this is the part that Satan brings to us and tries to present to us day by day. And that darkness blinds our minds to where we cannot see what God wants us to do. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 3 and at verse 17, he says, "Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing." And he says, "You do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." You know, sometimes Satan tries to make us think that we're rich, that we have everything in the world that we need. We don't need anything else. And God sees that we're poor, blind, wretched, and miserable and naked. And so he shows us the things that we need, the things that we're to do in order to be pleasing unto him. In 2 Peter, and I'm going to read two or three verses there if you'd like to turn with me. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll begin reading with verse 5 and read down through about verse 9. He said, "And beside this, give all diligence, adding to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." And he says in the next verse, verse 10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." And so these things, we can be blinded because we do not add these things to our lives like we should and rely upon them. Short-sighted, even to blindness, is what we refer to there in the ninth verse of 2 Peter chapter 1. Now turn to the Ephesians letter, and let's notice in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians, I'm going to begin reading with verse 17, Ephesians chapter 4, and at verse 17 of this fourth chapter. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." And so, yes, we can be blinded and not even realize it. We can be to the point where we think that we're doing great, we're doing all that God would have us to do, when really we're not doing anything that he would have us to do in the right way. And so we need to realize that we need that nourishment from God by the word that Jesus said would not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The third symptom that they talked about after blindness was unconsciousness, that he got into the state of unconsciousness. That means that he was not aware of what was happening to his body. Now, can we be that way spiritually? Well, yes, we can. We can be unconscious spiritually, not aware of what is happening to our spiritual body. And so in Luke chapter 8 and verse 13, he says, "But the one on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, but in time of temptation they fall away." And so, yes, we can be at the point where we're unaware of what's going on. And sometimes we get to the point where we are unaware of what's happening to us, just like in the physical body being unconscious. It doesn't know what's happening to the body. And spiritually, we can be in the same boat. Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. "Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity." So what are you talking about here? We can be deterred by all the riches and the different things of life, the cares of life, things that we worry about day by day, most of them that never come to pass. And we're unconscious of the spiritual things and what we need to be doing spiritually. And we're not feeding our spiritual part. And we're becoming weaker and more unconscious as far as what's going on. Because we're not feeding the Word of God as we should, or feasting upon the Word of God as we should. He said in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, "Remember therefore from whence you are fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove the lampstand from its place, unless you repent." And so God expects us then to be faithful unto him and to study his Word, be active day by day in reading and studying from his word. Many Christians are gradually becoming unfaithful and do not even realize it. You know, sometimes we are kind of becoming negligent, not as interested in the Lord's work as we were at one time, not busy in the Lord's work doing what he wants us to do. We say, well, there's so many other people that can do this better than me, so So I'm going to let them do that. Or I've been doing this for years. Now it's time for the younger generation to take over and do this. And we become lax. We become unfaithful to God and don't even realize that we're doing it. Sometimes we miss services when we have no real reason to miss. It's not because we're sick. It's just that we're maybe too lazy to get up and get ready and go. Or we have something else on our mind that means more to us. Church problems arise and we're not even aware of the church problems that arise because we're so out of touch with the church and with the spiritual things that are going day by day. And so this is the unconsciousness then that we talk about from a spiritual standpoint. Now the next symptom that they mentioned was death after the unconsciousness. Actually, he died again because of starvation, because of the lack of the food that and nourishment that he needed. Can we be dead spiritually? Yes, we can. Because of not eating the spiritual food that we should. Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And so, yes, we can die spiritually. And Jesus talks about those who were dead spiritually. Let's go back again to the book of Revelation. And in chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, I'm going to begin reading with verse 1 of chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. He says, "And unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead." Now here was Sardis then, one of the seven churches there of Asia, that he said that they had a name, that they lived, but they were dead. They claimed to be Christians, but they were dead Christians. They were ones that were not living like they ought to. He says in verse 2, "Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." So here were people now who were children of God, who were members of the church of our Lord that were so dead, some of them, he said, was about ready to die. So he said in verse 3, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come upon thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." But he says in verse 4, there's a few names in Sardis, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garment, and they will walk with me in white, and they will be worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before the Father and before his holy angels. And so we are to live to where we can be dressed in that white raiment that we're talking about and serve God as we should. Now back to the book of James. In chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, he said, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies." And he goes on to name a whole list of things that are the works of the flesh. "And those who practice these things cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." They're dead as far as God is concerned spiritually. They're dead. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, "You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace." And so if we try to be justified by the law, then he says we're dead. We've become away from Christ. We're not with him. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. "Therefore let him who thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." What's he saying? Be careful, because you may think you're doing what's right, but if you don't go back and study God's word and see what God has said, then you may be dead and not even realize that you are. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. "But I discipline my body," this is Paul talking, "and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified." And so Paul realized the need of doing what God would have him to do, lest he himself, after he had preached to others, and the kind of person that Paul was, that he realized that he could be disqualified. He could become dead as well as others spiritually. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. He says, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the faith, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. So here are some who teach false doctrine that will overthrow the faith, that will cause us to be dead, cause us to die spiritually. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Evil heart of unbelief, departing from the living God. We surely don't want to depart from the living God. We want to be a part of him. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. So it's possible for us to fall from our steadfastness. So he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. The next thing they mentioned was, of course, destruction of the body. The body goes back to dust, just like Ecclesiastes says in chapter 12 and verse 7, that the body goes back to the dust from whence it came, and the spirit to God who gave it. And so here's the destruction then of the body. It's dead and it's buried and goes back to dust. What about spiritual destruction? What about if we're dead spiritually, what happens? Well, hell is prepared for the devil and for his angels. And this is where we talk about the death spiritually, then that's the destruction of the spiritual part that we're talking about. Now, turn back to Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 17. He said, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us as examples. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. And so there are those that are enemies of the cross of Christ that will cause us to be destroyed, cause us to be in that place that is known as hell, the place that burns with fire and brimstone. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning with verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning with verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So here we see that this is the destruction then of the flesh. If we die spiritually, then this is the place that is prepared for us. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, the last verse of that chapter, talking about the wicked, it says, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So the righteous are those that are dressed in white, those who have not had their garments spotted by sin, who have lived faithfully to God and been faithful to him, and they have that reward waiting for them. But those who die spiritually, they have the reward of the fire that burns, or the place that burns with fire and brimstone. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. He says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so this is the destruction then of those who die spiritually. So we want to be careful not to starve ourselves to death spiritually. Now, one thing I want to close with, and I want you to think about this. Bobby Sands did not die because the food wasn't available. The food was there. It was just the fact that he refused it and would not take the food that was there. Christians don't starve because there's not enough food available and because the food is not available. Most of the time it is offered to them and they refuse it. And so the food is there. The spiritual food is there. And if I starve spiritually, it's not because there's not the food there for me. It's because I have refused it. And I will wind up in that place that's prepared for the devil and for his angels. Now, the lesson is yours this morning. It's a simple lesson, but it's a powerful one to realize that even as we can, we know that we can starve ourselves physically. We've heard about that, and just like we said with Bobby Sands there back in 1981, and May the 5th that he died after being fasting for 66 days. And so we know that that can happen. We know that, according to the Bible, it can happen spiritually too. And if we're not careful, we will not be as aware of it spiritually as we would physically. When we get physically hungry, we start looking for something to eat usually. But we may get hungry spiritually. We may not be looking for anything to eat. We may push it aside and say, oh, well, I'll read some later, or I'll study later. I don't have time for this, or something else that's more important. And so we need to realize that yes, we can. We can starve ourselves spiritually. And if we do, then we cannot expect to be with Christ where he is. And so today, if you have not been obeying God in the way that you should, you've starved yourself spiritually, then come back to the Lord. Be obedient to him. Start studying day by day and do what God would have us to do so that we can be strong spiritually and ready not only to be saved ourselves but to help others to be saved as well. The lesson is yours. Won't you come while we're standing as we sing together?